Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 61 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers. A new plaintiff has been added to a civil case against a local church. Some public schools in Kentucky are joining the battle against companies they say created the nation's opioid epidemic. Kentucky's governor plans to ease COVID-related restrictions. Medical experts fear not enough people are going to get vaccinated. Meanwhile, clinics for vaccinations are scaling back. In sports, it's going to be a busy weekend with regional baseball and softball action. Bud Luke has a stock report. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 39. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. A plaintiff has been added in the civil case against Better Life Church in Moorhead. Motions were granted this morning in the case to add a plaintiff and set a trial date. The case was filed in December after three plaintiffs came forward alleging sexual harassment, sexual discrimination, retaliation, and negligence. The accusations center around the alleged behavior of 29-year-old Jacob Stegall during his time employed as student pastor at Better Life Church. The plaintiff added to the case today reported similar experiences to the others involved. Stegall entered an Alford plea during his criminal trial for indecent exposure last year, which means the accused does not admit to the charges but acknowledges there is sufficient evidence to convict him of that charge. Better Life Church had requested to mediate the civil case, but no settlement was reached. A trial date has not yet been set. The Kentucky State Police Electronic Crime Branch arrested a Wolf County man on charges related to child sexual abuse material. 29-year-old Sean Patrick Pierce was arrested as a result of an undercover Internet Crimes Against Children investigation. The KSP Electronic Crime Branch began the investigation after discovering the suspect uploading images of child sexual exploitation online. The investigation resulted in the execution of a search warrant at a residence in Campton on May 6th. Equipment used to facilitate the crime was seized and taken to KSP's forensic laboratory for examination. The investigation is currently ongoing. Pierce is lodged with 20 counts of possession or viewing matter portraying a minor in a sexual performance and one count of distribution of matter portraying a minor in a sexual performance. These charges are Class D felonies, punishable by 1 to 5 years in prison. Pierce was lodged in the Three Forks Regional Jail. Kentucky public school districts have joined the legal fight to secure funding to deal with the fallout of the nation's opioid epidemic. Way 3 News reports the state's public school districts recently filed suit against McKenzie and Company Incorporated. They accused the company of creating and implementing plans that caused millions of Americans to become addicted to drugs. The suit seeks to recover money to provide aid to students affected by the epidemic. Attorney Ron Johnson is representing the school districts. He says between 2009 and 2012, more than 1.9 billion doses of oxycodone and hydrocodone were dumped into Kentucky. Between 2015 and 2019, 25 out of every 1,000 infants born in the state were addicted to opioids. Many of the children suffer from cognitive defects and have learning disabilities as a result. Now school age, they need extra help, which is putting a strain on Kentucky's education system. More than 500 Fayette County students are asking for another shot at the 2020 school year. The Lexington Herald Leader reports at least 523 families have submitted requests for a do-over of the unusual school year, which has turned upside down by the pandemic. Under a new state law, Kentucky school districts must either consider all requests for a repeat or none. Right now, principals and other officials are sorting through the data, which will eventually inform the school board's ultimate decision. Interim Superintendent Marlene Helms says there are multiple factors to consider, from school capacity to students' performance following the year of at-home learning.
And we'll know a little bit more at the end of the school year, and then we'll use the summer to plan and be ready for the fall.
This month, students began testing, which will give officials yet another snapshot. Of the applicants, families of high school students appeared most interested in a supplemental year with 242 requests. Governor Andy Beshear plans to ease more COVID-related restrictions this month, but critics are calling for a total reopening sooner. Under the new rule, starting May 28th, all inside and outside events under 1,000 people can move from 60% to 75% capacity, while those over 1,000 can operate at 60% capacity. It's the latest incremental adjustment made by the administration as the state inches towards its vaccination goal of 2.5 million people. Citing CDC estimates of a sharp decline in cases this summer, Beshear said an end to all capacity limits is in sight.
Listen, I hope that we'll be fully done with any capacity restrictions and all by July. That's actually my expectation. But this is good news. And again, it shows we don't have to be patient for that much longer, but we do have to finish our work and protect the people around us.
Potential GOP gubernatorial candidate Ryan Quarles is calling for more, arguing Beshear is ignoring an emergency bipartisan consensus that states should set a firm reopening date. The governor said he's not playing politics or looking at the next election. National and local health experts are voicing the fear that not enough people will get vaccinated to cause herd immunity. Ed Minton tells WKYT he received his first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine Monday. He believes others that are hesitant about it should go ahead and get it too. But Minton was one of only a few getting vaccinated Monday at the Laurel County Health Department.
I mean, if you've been tired of wearing one of these for so long, and you've been tired of not being able to go out, being stuck in the house all the time, get it. Let's get it over with. I mean, I'm sorry. If you don't want to get your vaccine, stay in the house. You know, let the people that do want to get the vaccine, let them get out and do what they want to do. If you don't want to get it, stay in your house.
About 21% of the population in Laurel County has been vaccinated. National health leaders say they need 70 to 80% to reach herd immunity, but they do not believe it will be achieved. Kentucky is beginning to see COVID-19 vaccination clinics scaled back or canceled as signups slow across the state. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Not so long ago, all attention was on vaccine supply, with residents searching out open spots even cities away. But concerns are now shifting to the demand side of the equation. This week, the University of Kentucky announced plans to break down the mass vaccination site at Kroger Field and farm the job out to smaller sites. WLEX reported appointments are down to a fourth of what they once were at the height of the vaccine rollout. Meanwhile, Louisville is beginning to see smaller clinics canceled due to lack of interest. It's a concerning but not unexpected problem that the state hopes to counter by adjusting its messaging and outreach, making the shot easier to get, and waiting for more time to pass and hesitant Kentuckians to see more and more family and friends get vaccinated. According to state data, 41% of the population in Kentucky has received at least one dose. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Education officials are seeking public input to draft a plan for federal aid. WMKY's Daria Denisenko has a story.
The Kentucky Department of Education is seeking opinions from different groups and individuals before allocating federal aid. The survey from the agency is gathering input as it plans to use about $2 billion of American Rescue Plan elementary and secondary school emergency relief funds. WKYT reports the Education Department is asking students, families, and educators to take the survey through May 7th. The survey is offered in both English and Spanish. For WMKY News, I'm Daria Denisenko.
The city of Lexington has banned conversion therapy. WMKY's Josh Grogan has more.
Lexington has become the third city in Kentucky to ban conversion therapy. The Urban City Council voted anonymously to ban the practice for minors. Councilmember Hannah LaGris called it a step to protect the LGBTQ youth. According to the Human Rights Council, the practice is sometimes known as reparative therapy and is a range of dangerous and discredited practices that falsely claim to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity or expression. Such practices have been rejected by every mainstream medical and mental health organization for decades. But due to continuing discrimination and societal biases against LGBTQ people, some practitioners continue to conduct conversion therapy. Louisville and Covington have also banned conversion therapy. For WMKY News, I'm Josh Grogan.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, sunny with a high near 60 degrees. Saturday night, a 50% chance of showers after 11 p.m., increasing clouds overnight with a low around 46. Sunday, showers likely and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon hours, mostly cloudy with a high near 70. Sunday night, showers and thunderstorms, low around 49. And for Monday, a 40% chance of showers in the morning, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 62. It's currently 61 degrees here in Moorhead. On our feature segment this afternoon, a faculty member with Moorhead State University's Convergent Media Department is releasing a documentary film this summer. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
Stephen Middleton has a number of titles, depending on the context. He's an instructor of mass communication at Moorhead State University, a Kentucky colonel, and a member of the old-time string band, the New Beckham County Ramblers. He has also produced a number of documentaries through the years under the handle State-Run Media Productions.
I like to find topics in our state or the South or Appalachia that are sort of things people either forgot about, didn't know about, or sort of just lost to history. And so the majority of my products are themed that way, whether it's about Kentucky roadside attractions or the removal of the Indian Head Rock from the Ohio River, or just various histories of places that people didn't even know existed.
Middleton has covered a wide array of topics through the years. He just wrapped up his 14th production recently called A History of Sweetness, 100 Years of Ruth Hunt Candy. Middleton says there were a number of things that led him to pursue the project about the Mount Sterling-based company.
Started and founded by a female-owned business 100 years ago was very rare, almost unheard of even, and so that's very interesting. It's only had 100 years, only had three owners, Ruth Hunt, then her daughter, Emily Peck, and then Larry Kiesel now and Toby Moore. But I found that fascinating. And then the whole histories of how you got chocolate here and how you manufactured chocolate. Really interesting stuff.
For transparency purposes, Ruth Hunt Candies is an underwriting partner with WMKY. But Middleton says picking subject matter this time around wasn't as easy as it had been in years past. The COVID-19 pandemic created a hurdle in all aspects of his life, including his documentary production. In the search for a subject, Middleton found many people were wary of meeting in person, and to him, doing interviews over Zoom or Microsoft Teams wasn't going to cut it.
People were nervous to be interviewed, and I'm such a, I like to use my camera, my gear, you know, I've invested so much in my gear over the years that I didn't want to interview someone virtually. I wanted to be there and record it myself, and then being such an audio and video geek, I just didn't like the way the quality looked and sounded.
And once he did decide to move forward with the Ruth Hunt film, Middleton says there were still the standard issues he ran into with his previous work. He says a big part of the job becomes separating the folklore from the facts.
Anytime you're dealing with topics that are sort of rooted in rural communities and have not been historically documented all that well, everyone's got a perspective and a story. You know, you don't take that story and discredit it. I mean, you take little bits and pieces from it and data mine and sort of run with it and do your own research and find the real story.
A History of Sweetness, 100 Years of Ruth Hunt Candy will premiere on KET next month. It will also be available to view on the KET and PBS streaming services as well as Hulu. And looking forward, Middleton says documentary number 15 likely isn't too far off.
I really want to produce something this summer, and I don't have anything in mind. I have a few dream projects in mind. It's probably going to be something historical again because that doesn't require me so much to be around large groups of people and interview people.
For WMKY News, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
It's 61 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Daria Denisenko, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Josh Grogan has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this lovely Friday afternoon.
It's a busy weekend for area baseball and softball. For WMKY Sports, I'm Josh Grogan. Round softball is set to face off with Bath County this evening after their game was rained out Monday. The Vikings are coming off a win over Wolf County last night 6-5. Head coach Larry Sloan has been experimenting with bringing some middle schoolers to the team this season. He says it's paying off in multiple ways.
You know, when we get a chance to bring some of them up to spot play, it just gets them more oriented to be around the older kids and trying to make them a little more comfortable. And hopefully by the end of this of their season and getting down toward the end of our season, we'll have them a little bit more. And that'll help.
First pitch against the Lady Cats this evening is set for 6 o'clock. Taking a look at other area softball sets for tonight, Raceland hosts Lewis County. Elliott County travels to Morgan County. Fleming hosts Greenup. East Carr welcomes River Valley, Ohio. And Boyd County hosts a doubleheader with South Point, Ohio. In regional baseball action tonight, Boyd County hosts Corbin. Fleming hosts Augusta. West Carter travels to Lewis County, Morgan County heads to Paintsville, and Elliott travels to Wolf County. The Round County Senior High School baseball team is set for a couple busy days of play. The Vikings will be in Montgomery County tonight to begin three-team tournament against Perry County Central. They'll return to Mount Sterling tomorrow night to face Estill in Montgomery Counties. Head coach Scott Collins says his team has had a lot of success in pitching and hitting the ball, with their recent focus being on defense.
When we rotate people in and out, you know, sometimes you don't get to play on a daily basis. You know, you may play every second or third day or whatever it may be. So just trying to get everybody focused, you know, when their number's called, be ready to step in and do their job. So that's the big thing right now is we've got some role players on the team and they're just trying to realize what that role is.
Tonight's game against Perry County Central is set for 7:30. Moorhead State Baseball looks to hold on to its place atop the OVC standing with a weekend trip to Tennessee Tech. Players got several days rest to recover and focus on their final exams following their winning series over Murray State earlier this week. Head coach Mike Aoki says the team will return to the practice field today to prepare for their three-game series with Tennessee Tech and Cookeville.
Not played them yet. Like everybody else in the OVC, they have one or two really good pitchers. They have a handful of kids in their lineup that swing the bat really well. They've struggled a little bit, but they've also been really competitive in every series that they've played. You know, so I think that they've their record might not be all that indicative of the type of team they are.
Moorhead State softball will hit the field for the final time in 2021 as it travels to take on Ohio Valley Conference foe Murray State for a weekend series. The Eagles continue their rivalry with the Racers tonight at 7 p.m. before a Saturday doubleheader set for 2 p.m. MSU has spent a week away from action after its midweek doubleheader with Eastern Kentucky was canceled due to inclement weather. Both Moorhead State and Murray State were swept last weekend with the Eagles falling to SIUE, while the Racers dropped 3 to Southeast Missouri. Junior Peyton Slater hopes to continue her hot hitter after going 4-for-9 with 3 doubles against SIUE to extend her 8-game reached base streak, while freshman Lennon Spencer seeks to keep her place atop the OVC with a conference-high 148.1 innings pitched on the season. The season-ending twin bill at Racer Field will be streamed live on ESPN+. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Josh Grogan.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include The Works, Garden Fresh, Zesty Italian Trio, and Fiery Buffalo Chicken. Side items and desserts include garlic knots, breadsticks, chicken wings, chocolate chip cookie, and double chocolate chip brownie. Curbside pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Rowan County. Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks jumped to record levels even after a disappointing April jobs report, as the weak number made investors believe easy monetary policies that powered the market's historic rebound will stay in place for longer. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish at a record closing high, finishing up 229.23 at 34,777.76. The S&P 500 was up 30.98 at 4232.60, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 119.4 at 13,752.24. The Labor Department did say that nonfarm payrolls increased by just 266,000 in April, which was far less than the 1 million that economists were expecting. The unemployment rate rose to 6.1% last month amid an escalating shortage of available workers, and this was higher than the expectation of 5.9%. Meanwhile, March's originally estimated total of 916,000 additions to nonfarm payrolls was revised down to 770,000. Analysts were quick to make comments on the reports today. Bank of America research actually warned as recently as earlier today that strong economic data could hit stocks, especially tech shares, if it caused the central bank to dial back on its easy monetary policies. So today's report certainly helping to ease those sort of fears in the market of higher rates. Some believe that April's job numbers could be just a blip, and it shouldn't change minds about the trajectory of the U.S. economy as a whole. In individual stock news today, it was rather quiet because most companies have reported first quarter earnings. Shares of Roku rallied more than 11% after the streaming company blew past expectations with its first quarter results, as Roku posted adjusted earnings of 54 cents a share compared to an estimated loss of 13 cents a share. Revenue was up 79% from a year ago. And for the week, the Dow rallied 2.7% to break a two-week losing streak. The S&P 500 gained 1.2%. On the other hand, the NASDAQ Composite was down 1.5% for the week. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.2% at $64.83 a barrel. Gold was up 1% at $1,832.70 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Marathon Petroleum up 54 cents at 60, CSX up 57 cents at 103.13. PPL Energy up 41 cents at 29.25. App Harvest down 20 cents at 13.91. Fifth Third Bank was up 43 cents at $42.35. And Dollar General was up $1.70, finishing at $2.20.20. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Sarah Mead, Josh Brogan, Daria Denisenko, and Keneally Roberts. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Tanner Boyd. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.